FM News Talk 97.1. On-demand audio.
You know, we're going to get to our next guest, who is Mark Strand. He is the president of the Congressional Institute. Mark became president of the Congressional Institute in 2007. Founded in 1987, the Congressional Institute is a not-for-profit corporation dedicated to helping members of Congress better serve their constituents and helping their constituents better understand the operations of the national legislature. Mark Strand, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Chris. It's good to be talking to you.
Good. And a full disclosure, Mark Strand is my former boss. He was the longtime chief of staff for our great Senator Jim Talent. So I want to throw that out there. And he has been on the Hill, was on the Hill for 24 years. So I thought he'd be a good guy to bring in to get his perspective on what we can expect in the upcoming Congress. Mark?
Yes.
What can we expect in the upcoming Congress?
Probably not a great deal in terms of substantive things that the American people would like to get done, but probably a whole lot of flash and fury. It looks like the Democrats are dedicating themselves in the House to mostly holding oversight hearings on everything they can think of. If you listen to the weekend talk shows, I think one of the news organizations wrote there 65 different hearings they're planning. So I think we will get a lot of that. The Democrats, I think, have the danger of overplaying their hand, in which case the American people will get sick of it. But there'll probably be a few selective things they can go after that will generate considerable press attention.
That's what I was talking about earlier. I think they're going to overplay their hand on one hand. And I also think, they campaigned on, health care for everyone and saving Medicare, the things they campaign on every election. I think that message is going to get muddled when every other day you're calling for some type of investigation or impeachment. They're going to step over their own message. And the only thing that the people are going to remember in 2020 was the Democrats were obstructionists and wanted to investigate this president to death.
Yeah, and this is unfortunate because if they wanted to get anything done, they'd have to throw an olive branch to the other side because the majority, even though it was a great victory for the Democrats Tuesday night, is a pretty narrow one. They may end up with 235 seats. That's less than the Republican majority. But if you have the opposition party dead set against you or playing complete defense, they're not going to help you pass anything, which means the people who control the Democratic agenda are the ones between 218 and 235. The most radical elements of their party will be dictating their agenda because they simply say, well, we won't vote with you if you don't give us what we want, a lot like the Freedom Caucus is doing to Paul Ryan.
Hey, Mark, Tony Colombo here. I wanted to bring up something about your old boss, Jim Talent. I am lucky enough to talk to him. He's a regular on the Dave Glover Show, so I get an opportunity to talk to him on a regular basis. He's a great guy. He's very insightful, and myself and others have talked about, well, why doesn't Jim Talent run for Senate again? We've had this Claire McCaskill stronghold for so long, and now finally that's over with Josh Hawley defeating Senator McCaskill last week. With Josh Hawley moving into the Senate, here in Missouri, can we expect a throwback to when Jim Talent was in office? Is he going to be a senator, a conservative senator like Jim Talent? Or what do you predict for the future for Josh Hawley as he takes over that Senate seat?
I think Josh Hawley has the ability to be a very good senator. I think he's smart. He really kind of is in tune with the people. And seems to me, everything I know about him, to be a really solid conservative. I think the difference you'll find, though, is the Senate has changed a lot since Jim Talent was there. When Jim was there, he never introduced something unless he could find a Democratic co-sponsor because he wanted to pass legislation, and he passed like 42 bills in his 4 years in the Senate. You don't see that as much anymore because it's so polarized. And so I think even the best senators are going to have a hard time getting things through simply because the Democrats are going to be filibustering everything they do in the House. And in fairness, the Republicans will be trying to block everything the Democrats do in the House, just like the Democrats will be trying to block everything the Republicans do in the Senate.
Yeah.
So I think Hawley, I think, will be a good representative of Missouri. I think he sort of reflects Missouri's values. It remains to be seen just how much the Senate's going to be able to get done in these next 2 years.
Mark, we had on earlier Jimmy Kemp, who you probably know.
Oh, great man.
Yes, he is president of the Jack Kemp Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a chance to meet his father in HW when they came to St. Louis when they were pushing their initiative for housing, public housing residents to buy their units. And Jack Kemp was a very strong conservative. No one doubted him, called him wishy-washy. But he had a way that his conservatism wasn't intimidating to folks, and he was still friends with a lot of people on the other side of the aisle. I think you were serving in Congress during that time. Can we ever get back to that? And what made him so different that he could have his brand of conservatism but still not be thought of as the devil?
You know, I do think the Ronald Reagan, Jack Kemp version of the Republican Party is the one that long-term will be successful. Kemp just believed in America, and he believed in Americans. You know, some people, you know, when I hear people are the politicians talk about the people, it's usually in this sort of distant thing, like the nobles talk about the peasants, you know.
Right.
Whereas Kemp really thought everyone was part of this country, and that and it's a land of opportunity, and so I want to make sure everyone gets the same opportunities I have. When he was the first NFL quarterback, he was the one who broke segregation.
Right, I remember that.
At a time when he was traveling, when they tried to make the black members of the team stay at a different hotel than the white members. And Kemp said, sorry, no, we're all staying in the same hotel. And when management refused, he said, oh, yes, we are. And all the white players joined the black players at their hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was something, he pioneered this from the very beginning. He just believed Americans, individually, each one, were special. And that together, we were stronger than anybody else. This is a lot like Ronald Reagan's vision. It was just a positive vision. And he believed conservatism in the free market could be used to do positive things. Unlike socialism, which always ended up being as bad for the, you know, as bad a cure for the disease. So, you know, we need that kind of positive vision in the Republican Party again. We need people talking about solutions, not just what they're against. And that's the kind of person Kemp was. And he would work with anybody from either party, so long as they were sort of sharing his idea of a better America.
We're speaking with Mark Strand, president of the Congressional Institute. Mark, I think last time that I hosted, I think the Institute had an initiative regarding earmark reform.
Mm-hmm.
The Congress is going to be a little different than when we first talked. Is that something that the Congressional Institute is still going to be pushing? And what will you be trying to push forward with this new Congress?
Well, you know, obviously I think earmarks are one part of a reform that would help Congress work on a more bipartisan basis. We'll be pushing for reforms on the rules where you have open debate, where we have a new budget process that makes a lot more sense, maybe a two-year budget cycle instead of a one-year budget cycle. But I think earmarks are an important thing because it allows both parties to get something for their constituents. Yeah, the majority party still controls the overall agenda, but this way every member of Congress gets to put forward things that are most important to their constituents. And so, and then, of course, once they get their earmark or their project for their district in the bill, they probably vote for final passage. So it means now we get bipartisan majorities for legislation, and Congress starts to work again. I think it was a big mistake to get rid of earmarks, and earmarks are usually only referred to in the third person.
Right.
You know, in my district, they're vitally needed emergency projects. In your district, they're earmarks. You know?
Right.
But I think the idea that, you know, the founding fathers in the Federalist Papers said that the individual representative is supposed to be the primary representative of those people in Congress. In other words, he's the only person looking out specifically, whose job it is to look out for those people. And so why shouldn't they be determining where money is spent in the district? It just makes sense, and it would make our representatives closer to the people. You know, we always talked about an issue where on women's issues versus men's issues. You know, and we did a survey, and the most important issues, women's issue is the economy.
Right.
Now, the difference is the men go out and they talk about the rate of GDP growth. You know, women are talking about what choice do I have to make between food and medicine and the microeconomics. Well, a lot of this is, too, the members of Congress need to be the sort of the micro representatives of their district to the federal government. And I think earmarks allow them to do that. You can do that very effectively, whether you're in the majority party or the minority party.
I think you're going to get a very strong debate for and against when it comes to earmarks, but it's a very interesting perspective. Mark, give the folks where they can get more information on the Congressional Institute.
The Congressional Institute is on the web at conginst.com. Institute.org. So the first four letters of Congressional and Institute.org.
And Mark, I just want to throw this out there. I think you need to put a little oil on that squeaky chair because it sounds like you have flatulence there in the background, my friend.
Oh, no.
And Katie is cracking up over here.
Oh,
yeah, it's like, wow, you must have had a burrito today for lunch.
Well, I'm going to have to get the Tin Man's oil can.
All right, Mark, appreciate it. Thank you. And we'll be talking to you later, my friend.
Take care, Chris.
Get more at 971talk.com.